You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for February 17th, 2017. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Russian-American co-prosperity sphere, where everything is just fine now and full of love. It is the pathetic counter-revolutionary professional left with Drift Something and that blue lady.
Welcome to the motherland, everybody. Breaking news.
More breaking news?
Because there always is. Apparently, there was a photo opportunity.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Trump told Senator Heitkamp, I'm not making this up.
She's got a nice set of tits on her?
No, he said that she should get in the picture. Come on, honey.
Oh, that's great.
Even though she's sort of a Democrat.
Yeah.
That's going to get her primaried right there.
Yeah, come on, get in the picture.
Even Trump thinks you're kind of a Democrat. You're sort of a Democrat.
Mm?
Get in the picture, honey. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm clawing my way out of the pictures, sir.
And apparently he had a Tic Tac in his mouth when he said it. Because,
yeah,
you know, Tic Tacs.
Tic Tacs are what,
you know,
the women
I was
going
to have a Tic Tac because, you know, I might just kiss her.
Might just kiss her or grab her something.
Grab her some hoo-ha.
It's been like 19 weeks since our last podcast.
No, it's been 7 days since our last podcast.
No, no, yeah. You don't get this much news in anything other than 19 weeks.
Oh, yes, you do. Turns out that we're dealing with Trump time. This is Trump time. Yeah.
Dog ears, baby. It's all dog ears. No.
But speaking of the passage of time, I would like to wish my dad a happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
Today, February 17th, the day that we release this podcast into the world, is my dad's 81st birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke to him today, and he's doing well. He misses my mom. You know, she passed away last November. He misses my mom. But he's going to the studio every day, making artwork, reading books. He's been on a trip and seen friends from college, and he's getting by. He is really getting by. So grateful for that. Grateful I had a chance to talk to him. And happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, old man.
Yeah. The socks are on the needles. I'm knitting him a pair of socks. He loves hand-knit socks. And
your father is also another man of Chicago.
He's a man of Chicago. He is. He went to Illinois Wesleyan University, and he is a man of River Forest, Illinois. And his mother was born in Downers Grove, Illinois. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in 1902. So, yeah, there's a long Northern Illinois line there. Uncle Whitney Campbell was in Oak Park for many years. So, yeah, this is just a lot of Chicago history there. But we, here we are.
Yeah. Wow.
And let's take time for some station identification here.
We'd like to welcome our second sponsor again this week, Dukakis Khakis. Mike Dukakis' line of sensible men's pants for senseless times. Dukakis Khakis, they're not so good for running in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I think we probably ought to start with General Flynn.
Yeah. We'll go from the general to the specific, shall we?
General Flynn.
Yeah.
Now, I still don't know whether he quit or was fired. Do you have a...
Splunge.
Splunge.
It's Splunge. No one knows what happened, and I'm not giving you good information, but I don't disagree with you, and I agree with what other people said, but what I said is different. Everyone in the Trump White House is now saying Splunge to everything Splunge. That rambling, incoherent, racist liar is saying, which explains today's press conference. But apparently... he was fired, but he wasn't fired, but he resigned, but he didn't. And it's all the press's fault because the Russian story is fake. It's all fake. The news is fake. The Russian story is fake. It's all the press's fault. I guess they drove his ratings down where Donald Trump couldn't keep him on the on the roster. He's got that big cork board up in his office where it's like scheduling programs. You have little pink cards and blue cards and red cards. And Flynn's ratings just weren't holding.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to go. He had to go. He's bringing this all down, Mike. Sorry, you got to go. But then, of course, being a rambling, incoherent, racist liar who cannot think straight for more than 2 seconds, suddenly it's the press's fault.
Right.
And well, suddenly, and I would never have fired him if the press hadn't, you know, told you all the bullshit that we're trying to pull over your eyes behind your back.
But he actually left because he lost my trust, except he didn't. He was victim. He was a victim of fake news.
You know what? And now he's going to fill that position. I hear Mike Flynn is a wonderful guy. Maybe you should pick this Mike Flynn fella to pick the position of the guy you just fired. Because that would be awesome. And now apparently Mr. Flynn appears to like maybe he lied to the FBI.
That's what, you know. But will he get away with it is now the question, because we have a new attorney general who might just say, nah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it's all right if you're Republican.
Well, and this is where, you know, I'd like to touch on a theme we haven't touched on in a while, but just a reminder. And I realize we're preaching mostly to the choir here, but this is a reminder to you when you're interacting with normal people and friends and family. There is no third party to whom anyone can appeal anymore.
Right.
There are no referees.
Right.
This whole idea that we are having we and the right are engaged in some sort of Socratic dialogue, some sort of debate. And every time they do something unbelievably monstrous, it is sufficient to say, see? And this group of people in front of whom we are arguing, the public, the body politic, will go, oh, horrors, the Republicans are full of shit.
Yeah.
And they'll make them pay for it. There is no referee. There is no audience. There is no third group of people who are swayed one way or the other. There's just us and them. And they don't give a shit. They are absolutely open about it now. This is what's so exciting about the Trump administration. It's the Bush administration without the pretense of caring about the country at all.
Right.
They exist to loot the country and to make liberals cry.
And they have a base that really doesn't care anymore, that does not care whether they are impacted, whether their water is drinkable, apparently. I mean, it really is... down to it is so, yeah, it is so such a denial of truth that I actually had someone say to me today on Twitter, I'm a woman, and they have Trump, Trump, Trump on there. You know, I went and looked them up. They're Trump, 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 right? I'm a woman. I would never vote for someone who would take away my rights. I won't support Sharia law.
Yeah.
And that's... you voted for Pence. You voted for Trump and Pence, and you don't see it. You literally don't see it.
Potentially, you're raising children out there in the world somewhere.
Raising something, yeah.
And you're telling them this. You're filling their heads with mommy's bullshit. I mean, and this is part of what the, you know, there's any number of people who have blocked me on the Twitter, which is fine. But I like occasionally peeking over the transom and watching Matthew Dowd choking to death.
Yeah.
On, I mean, he's trying as a centrist, denialist windsock. He's up speaking every sentence. Well, you know, Donald Trump says, but he said WikiLeaks is okay. Is that okay with everyone? I mean, Valley Girl? I don't know.
He's looking for the judge. He's looking for the referee.
Aren't we all indignant about this? Yeah. How can you say this one thing and then this other thing?
Yeah.
And he just gets buried under the same assholes who've been calling people like you and I traitors for 20 years.
Right.
They come crawling out of the woodwork and they just give him both barrels and he tries to sort of reason with them. And they just swarm him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would love to be on a panel with him one day and say, look, asshole, you invented these people.
Mm-hmm.
These are your fucking monsters. And now you're trying to crawl away from them and pin it on both sides and run your stupid little independent. This is what we're all facing now. And you're either on my team or we're going to let the zombies eat you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there ain't no middle no more. Now, you keep wanting to pretend there is. And I understand why, because if you had to acknowledge who these people really are, what their real agenda is, and your part in it, your entire personality would unravel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that.
So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question related to all of this.
Sure.
Several components to the world we live in. One, Donald Trump at press conferences only asking questions, and his press secretary as well, only asking questions from right-wing outlets.
Sure.
Period. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Fox and Friends becoming the alternate universe, the state-run media, where Steve Doocy today, and we're recording on Thursday, Steve Doocy today literally said to his audience, you're going to hear this word, Russia.
Yeah.
If you hear the word Russia, it's because the Democrats need a scapegoat for why they lost so bad.
That's right.
So just remember, when you hear that word Russia, yeah. that means the Democrats are behind it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 2 hours later, Trump is at a press conference saying, I just love that Fox and Friends. They're just yeah. the most honest morning show there is.
Mm-hmm. Russia's All fake. Right. Russia's so fake.
Russia's fake. And tweeting that. Yes. And tweeting that. Now,
let's see if Ducey
is
doing
the important part. Here's the important part.
Uh-huh.
After that press conference, Jake Tapper on CNN uh-huh. and Shep Smith on Fox, I watched both of them, both had like a minute to comment on this. And they said exactly the same thing. They literally said exactly the same thing,
yep.
which is, this is insane. This is crazy. This is not the America I know. This is not what a White House should look like. This is not stable. This is not safe. This is not good for America. Now, the 44% that voted for him will support him no matter what. But this uh-huh. is insane. This is crazy. This is not acceptable. This is terrible. Okay?
Yeah. Right.
Both of them put that exact sentence in there of the 44% that voted for him will support him no matter what.
Right.
Which means that the mainstream media, or the sane people inside the mainstream media, of which I would consider Jake Tapper and Shep Smith to
yes.
be people who can tell the difference between truth and bullshit and say so.
Yeah, more often than not.
More often yes, than not. Right. Those two people have written off 44% of the American electorate, just as you have, Driftglass, as yep. politically unsalvageable.
Yes.
All right?
That is true.
And what I have noticed, and this is where the story is. The story isn't with Fox. It isn't with Trump. It isn't with trying to find some sort of negotiator to make it all, to determine truth from fiction. It's with the Republican Congress, and what will they decide to do? And what they have decided to do is join Trump in the Fox News right-wing media bunker.
Yes.
And start passing voter suppression laws.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And cram through the agenda that feeds the animals that are in there with them in the Fox News bunker.
Yes.
One line that eliminates the EPA. One line that eliminates the Education Department.
Oh, and let's clarify what you're talking about there.
Mm-hmm.
The House presented yesterday or the day before, maybe a week before, a bill to terminate the Environmental Protection Agency. Mm-hmm. It's H.R. 861.
Right. And H.R. 899 is a one-line bill to eliminate the Department of Education. Has 7 co-sponsors, all of which are men.
Not to reform it. To get rid of it.
To eliminate.
Get rid of the Department of Education. There's a movement afoot to let mentally ill people buy bazookas.
Right.
Because that's a good idea. The first bill Trump signed, the very first one, was mm-hmm. one that makes it impossible to know which despots are being bribed by or receiving bribes from Rex Tillerson
right.
and other oil executives.
And Rex Tillerson lobbied against this rule in 2010 when it was being instituted as part of Dodd-Frank.
So going back to the bill,
I want to just say, in addition to that, while the bill signing was going on, the White House issued a transcript of the 2-minute meeting where he signed this bill and Paul Ryan was there,
sure.
and Senator Snowball.
It's Snowball. There's a snowball. There's no global warming. I got a snowball right here.
They were all there. There were members of Congress there. And he said, he opened this bill. He said, this bill, I'm going to sign this bill. We're going to bring back jobs, people. We're going to bring back jobs on the factory floor. We're going to bring back jobs at the plant. It's going to be awesome. We're bringing back energy jobs. It's going to be great. We've got a lot more to do. And he turns back to Paul Ryan and said, you're working on Obamacare, right?
Yep.
And the Speaker of the House just jumps out of his skin and said, yes, 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 we are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
He said March. Now this is the day we're recording this. There was a 70-something minute long, rambling, Castro drunk off his ass style
mm-hmm.
Piece of performance art
mm-hmm.
by the crazy pants man who's now the President of the United States that was just rambling, incoherent bullshit.
Right.
You know, just peevish, you know, attacking the press,
mm-hmm.
attacking Hillary Clinton, taking his, you know, electoral college dick out and waving it around and talking about his massive
victory.
With the wrong numbers. Just making shit up. And here's the thing, going back to the Jake Tapper and Shep Smith, you got to complete the syllogism.
Well, yeah.
Which is, this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
44% who voted for him don't matter. 44% of this country is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to have to deal with these people one way or another. And I'd really like it to be in an electoral way. Mm-hmm. But eventually, their shit's going to hit the fan, and they're going to come looking for scapegoats.
Right.
And the scapegoats they're going to be looking for will be liberals, because it's always fucking liberals.
It's always liberals.
Because no matter what happens, the all-purpose go-to alibi for every wingnut in the basement jerking it off and going and thinking Donald Trump is the greatest fucking thing on the planet. When it all goes south, they're not going to want to hear this was their fault.
Right.
They're not going to want to hear that they're too stupid to be voters. They're going to want to hear, who do I beat the shit out of because my drinking water isn't drinkable anymore and I got no health insurance and my retirement's gone. And that's when Steve Ducey will come on and say, purge, purge. Yeah. Yeah. You're going to hear a lot of talk about cause and effect and money and consequences. Ignore all that. It's all the liberals. Yep. And the stooges will rise up as one and come and take it out on us. Yep. So we need to diffuse that now, or it's going to come to that later.
Well, because, and this person who voted for Mike Pence and doesn't let her rights get taken away directly linked the pussy hat in my profile pic with Sharia law. That's Sharia law right there. Sure. Right. So, you know, it escalates very quickly. So we got a letter from someone that you refer to as that son of a bitch.
Yes.
One of our listeners, Bill. We'll just call him Bill.
Uh-huh.
He wants you to talk about Susan Sarandon.
Oh, so bad.
I did like what you said about the Glenn Greenwald story starring Susan Sarandon.
Script by
Andrew Sullivan.
Andrew Sullivan.
I thought it was the ghost of Andrew Breitbart. No. He produced it, right?
I watched parts of it glancingly. I turned it off. I caught up with the rest of it. It was infuriating.
Well, you said to me, I was out last night doing church work, and you said to me that it was the worst episode of the Chris Hayes show.
It was. It was.
In the history of the show.
Because he had some Republican douchebag on there, Charlie Dent. Who was doing his, you know, I'm a former wrestling coach, you know, I'm a football player looking kind of, you can trust me, I look kind of blue collar. And he was talking about how, you know, Rush is nothing, maybe it's something, who knows. And Chris Hayes was pushing him about, well, maybe we should have an investigation. Well, yeah, sure, but whatever. Well, don't you think that Jeff Sessions, who was, you know, had his tongue halfway up Trump's ass for the last year?
Since December of 2015,
should maybe recuse himself? No, he doesn't need, I mean, did Loretta Lynch recuse herself? Huh?
Yes, she did.
And Chris Hayes says, yeah, she did.
Yeah.
And made it clear, because she had a 20-minute conversation with Bill Clinton, and you people freaked so completely the fuck out that she had to.
Right.
And Charlie Dent did what Republicans do. He shrugged it off. Well, okay, whatever. But let's move on to the denials I was making before.
Right.
Because nothing affects these people.
Just ping. Yep.
There's no fucking soul in there.
Yep.
And so he just, okay, whatever. And he moved on. And after him was Roger Stone. Because
What's he doing there? I mean.
I guess something about blood from a stone. I don't know.
Gosh.
I guess Chris Hayes thought he could trip him up with some journalist trickery. But it was just like, why the fuck would you put this lying sack of shit on television? I can see this anywhere. Mm-hmm. I can literally watch Fox News anytime I want and see this kind of bullshit anytime I want. I can flip on my radio locally and hear it pouring out. Hear this vile vomit pouring out of my local radio all the time. Why the fuck would I want to see Charlie Dent followed by Roger fucking Stone during one of the very narrow windows during which liberals might actually get a chance to talk? Hey, look at Susan Sarandon. Oh, fuck me. And she was like, no. No, I'm not taking any of it back. You know, why are we blaming things? Why are we talking about this now? That's a ridiculous
question. Because Donald Trump is president, that's why.
Yeah, but it'll heighten the contradiction and the revolution.
You can
will
go
come.
Back to your in a helicopter to your mansion and get paid $1 million to make another movie. Not that you're not a talented actress, you sure are, but
why are you on?
Why the fuck are you on television?
And I was like, just Chris Hayes. Is there like a board in his office?
Well, did he put this show on as on a dare?
Well, no, on a dare or Phil Griffin requires that you pay the vig on the loan to the wingnuts and the Greenwaldians once a month.
He just decided to get it all over with like a dentist appointment.
It's like a proctologist, you know?
You got to pull your teeth. You might as well pull four. Yeah.
We're putting every asshole I can lay my hands on the air all at once to get it all out of the way.
Yep.
If that's not the reason, then I'm sort of done with Chris Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, and it was his level of incredulity. Like, well, you can, because she kept saying, if you were a real journalist, you'd be doing this. And if you were covering my shit.
Yeah.
And here's what your job should be, Chris. And she was just as smug. And I started thinking, you know what? Here's the thing. If this is the only kind of liberal Andrew Sullivan ever met, I kind of understand why he hates liberals.
Yep.
Because she was insufferable. Yep. Absolutely smug. Absolutely unrepentant.
Well, and not caring about poor people, not caring about children, children who are crying in school every day. I'm reading this article this morning. You told me, do you need a break, Fran? Do you need a break? And I'm like, no, I'm crying, but I also have my fist in the air because here's this public school in New York City that is 80% immigrant and 100% poor, and the teachers come to work every day, and, in the classroom, from age kindergarten to 11, someone is crying every day because Donald Trump has scared them. And they are afraid of being separated from their mother, because, you know, out of safety. One of the things interesting about this article is that the children that are in a mosque community or a church community have more information at their disposal about what's really going on with immigration. Because that community is finding out and getting back to the congregation, which is all immigrants, as to what's really happening and providing a support structure for how you cope in a practical way, not a let's pray to be able to stay in the United States. But here, you know, we're going to get in touch with the ACLU for you. We're going to do this. This is what the law says now. They're going to have an injunction. And really, the kids wind up having enough information that they understand that it stabilizes their emotional state.
They can sleep at night. They can't they're not crying all the time.
Right. I went to parent-teacher conference for youngest child yesterday, and I hadn't been walking through. I'd been to school many times, but usually I just go into the office and say hi and leave. But this was the first time since before the election that I had walked through the hallways of the majority-minority charter school, and it's not a Betsy DeVos child charter school. This is a, and I want to bring this up again. There are good charter schools. This one
is
part of the district. The teachers are union.
Yep.
It's one family foundation. This is the only school that they sponsor. They're not out there trying to convert public education to private education.
Right.
They simply support. They support a public school to which you apply. You must promise as a parent that you agree to a longer school year with longer school days and parental involvement.
Yes.
And they keep a record of your volunteer hours, of your time at the school, make sure that you show up for parent-teacher conferences, etc. And it is really a kind of a laboratory school to say more time at school with more parental involvement leads to better results. And it's, you know, that is, and like I said, the teachers are union, the teachers are part of the district, they report to the Board of Education. It's not privatizing or profitizing education. It is simply making a school that has a slightly higher, and I mean that higher in terms of more hours, standard for education. Anyway, I was walking through the halls of the school.
And it's deeply integrated into the community.
Right. It's in a black neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Our kids are bused there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like you said, it's integrated into the community. And that's really important as well. I'm walking through the hallways of the school, and something had changed. And you know what had changed, Rick Glass? There were not pictures of the President of the United States all over the wall.
Nope.
I am serious. Every hallway in that school last October had a picture or a poster of Barack Obama, either with other kids and a saying about read more, work hard, stay in school, don't bully. He's the role model.
Right.
You know, he's the adult, the role model, the dad.
He's a surrogate dad to a lot of kids.
Yes,
he is.
But he's also an aspiration, right?
Exactly.
Look, this guy became president of the United States. Everyone respects him. Mm-hmm. How did he do it? He stayed in school. He worked hard.
Right.
You can do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't bully people. He's kind to people.
He read. He wrote books.
He wrote books and read.
He went to school. He went to college.
And so you walked through the hallways today. And I remember, because we were there in 2008 was when we started there. There was a picture of George W. Bush in the office. There is not a picture of Trump in that office.
Nope.
And it is subtle. You know, you have to be thinking the way I'm thinking. But not my president. You bet your ass not my president. No one in that school.
And I guarantee you, there are pictures of Barack Obama in the classroom.
Oh, sure.
Guarantee you there are pictures of Barack Obama in notebooks, in lockers, in reports, in assignments.
Yep.
Yeah, worked into lectures by the teachers. Because he was the good president.
Yep.
And these are the people who Ms. Sarandon is perfectly willing to sacrifice for her utopian fantasies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it comes to pass, when it actually happens that, you know what? The thing that you worked so hard to do, the thing that you were, you know, didn't give a shit about, yeah, let's bring Donald Trump on, bring the revolution. It arrives and it's shitty and awful, and the people who suffer for it ain't you, darling.
Yeah.
Suddenly, Chris Hayes asked her, do you think you properly appreciated what a Trump presidency would be? And she says, I absolutely feel that talking about blaming people for what happened is really wasting your time and energy, because now the population is awake. Yeah, everyone's awake now. Everyone's up and awake.
And they're up all night awake crying. The children in PS, whatever school it is, are terrified.
But she kept saying, really, this is where we're going to spend our time and energy, blaming people? And Chris Hayes kept saying that, you know, don't you agree it's gotten much worse?
Yeah.
And maybe a better question would have been, do you really think Hillary would have been worse?
Yep.
And Sarandon said, what's the point of even saying that? Because she gets to leave. After she and Greenwald and the rest of these fuckers trash the system, they get to leave.
Mm-hmm.
They're not around.
And they're never going to miss a meal. And they're never going to be separated from their parents.
No, they're going to have health care. Their family planning clinic isn't going to shut down.
Right.
Their voting rights are going
to be taken away. Fly to Norway for an abortion if they need to.
And that's why these people are awful. Just fucking awful. And I wouldn't have written about this, except for the fact that a couple people sent me the trifecta of the day. Which was Breitbart reporting on Glenn Greenwald on the Tucker Carlson show on Fox News, pissing on the Democratic Party. And I know that all the little fanboys and all the little purists, all the purity angels, the spleenwald horde, all got little boners. Oh, this is so exciting. Because none of this shit's going to affect us, right? We're going to get the good bunks in the re-education camps.
Right. Right.
Yeah, no. Yep. But Glenn can always skip off to Rio.
Yep.
You know, if the jackboots, you know, this is a guy who was telling people, if I come back to this country, they're going to throw me in prison.
Apparently he's back in this country now. Yeah, and everything's fine.
No one arrests him. No one threatens him. He gets to go on any show he wants. And when he goes on these shows, it's always about what a monstrously evil country America is and what a horrible party the Democrats are.
Yep.
Because his meal ticket is currently living under the protection of a guy named Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
So it was like, really, really, okay. I don't want to read this story or watch Tucker Carlson talk to Glenn Greenwald about.
I won't watch Tucker Carlson talk to anybody, including Milo Y. Either.
I will wait until it becomes a major motion picture starring Susan Sarandon.
And what did you say? It's a Tina Brown joint?
That's Tina Brown joint. I've got a vision. I got vision. And there's Andrew Sullivan going,
and it's going to be released digitally, Matt. I'm telling you. Mika, it's going to be released digitally.
Totally digital on this. That's your media. Boys and girls, that is your press now.
It's so pathetic.
When the most honorable person this week was Mika Brzezinski.
Yeah.
Saying, you know what? I don't care
Kellyanne
if it does.
Conway can suck my dick.
I don't care if it does cost me my Barney's discount card. She can't come on my show no more.
Yeah. And this is when, you know, she did go kind of renegade against the system that you don't show what's behind the curtain when she said that Kellyanne Conway texts the bookers.
Trying to
book herself on the show and say, I'm available to be on your show. I can come in and be on your show. She said, Kellyanne Conway doesn't need to text our show anymore. And I thought, wow. For her, and I put, when I wrote the post for this, for Crooks and Liars this week, I put the part in there about Carl Bernstein.
Yeah.
In January, when he was talking about Kellyanne Conway on CNN, and he said, you know, she is the anonymous source from the White House.
Yeah.
I'm going to out her.
Yeah.
And the reason all of us are so nice to her, or all the reason the media is so nice to her all the time, because she's a professional. She's such a professional. Is because they know they can get a quote from her.
Right.
And she'll return their calls. She'll return their texts. Part of that is, I am the propaganda minister at the White House. That's my job, right? Yeah. And that would be the job of anyone who worked for any president, is you're supposed to keep the lines of communication open with the media all day long. So she's doing her job in that regard. But that quid pro quo stops when every single time you come on,
you lie.
Not only lie, but that Vox video that came out this week as well, showing how she did jujitsu on any interviewer to not have to answer the question.
You know, and Blue Gal, I think when you say interviewer, what you're really talking about is how good Donald Trump is doing in getting our jobs done and our troops ready.
I think I'm talking about what I think is sad is that no one wants Donald Trump to create any jobs.
You know, you should be
in the media.
Sure, you're mad, but you know what you should be mad about? Those leaks, those terrible leaks.
Exactly.
And it never stops.
Whatever word you just said.
Yes.
And repeat it in the next sentence to make it look like she's answering the question.
Well, and there is
a precursor. Take it off in whatever direction she wants.
This is ELIZA. This is the mainframe computer program that they were running at Harvard 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That people mistook as a therapeutic tool, which all it was doing was reading your questions, isolating a word, and asking you a question about that word.
Right, right.
How do you feel about your mother?
Right.
Tell me
I'm
more
mad
about
at my mother.
Right. Tell me more about mother.
Yeah, tell me more about being mad at your mother.
Well, she hurt me when I was in. She abandoned. Tell me more about your abandonment. And that's all Kellyanne Conway does. She is not a friggin' human. She scans whatever comes out of your mouth for the active word.
It is an algorithm that she is using to communicate.
So her half of her brain is busy figuring out how, ignoring everything you're saying, and figuring out what active words in there she will use to pivot you back to the lie she wants to tell. Mm-hmm. And the other half of her brain is just lying. Just fucking lying all the time. That's the thing that is really knocking everyone back on their heels, is they're just going to keep doing this. They're going to lie because there's no cop on the beat anymore. Like I said, there's no referees.
Well, but if the cop on the beat is CNN and Mika Brzezinski and they lead the way and a whole lot of other people say no, we're not going to have them on.
Well,
and then the guest today, I thought it was interesting because you were doing a little bit of channel surfing. To see that CNN had a congressman on, MSNBC had a couple of congressmen on, and maybe a senator on. There were people from the Hill that they had booked. And who did Fox have on? They had on two nobodies, two literal nobodies, an African-American Democratic consultant.
I'm a Democratic strategist.
Strategist.
Really? Okay.
Never heard of him. And
some blonde chick.
Yeah. Who was like, I think Donald Trump's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job.
And weren't they with the Washington Examiner?
No, the Federalist.
The Federalist.
The fucking Federalist. Ben Dominick's shithole. Thank you, Chris Hayes, again. Thank you for elevating your friend Ben to a point where he gets to be a mogul now.
Yeah.
And spawn these creatures in the media.
Yeah, and it was Donald Trump, I think, is just doing a great job. And the 20-minute segment gets filled with what they want to say. And they will beat up on the Democratic strategist because it was 2-on-1, the host and this Federalist lady.
Uh-huh.
And anyone who is just watching that and doesn't change the channel ever.
Mm-hmm. 44% of America.
44% of America gets their news that way. And they're going to see, oh, I didn't like that strategist.
And you know what?
I
like the idea. I think it's Jay Rosen's idea of just send the interns. Send the interns. But there's a limiting factor in all of this, which is, yes, CNN and the New York Times is doing a very good job these days. Mm-hmm. Washington Post is doing a great job these days of actual reporting. Mm-hmm. Ignore the op-ed page. It's still full of neoconservative assholes and lunatics and liars. I mean, Hugh Hewitt now has a job at the Washington Post. Hugh Hewitt. Because – really, Joe Scarborough didn't lower your standards far enough.
Right.
So let's throw a little Hewitt on there. So yeah, that's good.
Well, and I want you to read that part in our notes about all hacks are returning to their default settings.
Yes.
Because this was one day in the media. And well, it was the day that Flynn quit, actually. Yeah. It was the day after the day Flynn quit. I'll read this if you don't mind, and then you can.
Oh, no. I just wanted to point out that the one thing that CNN and Washington Post, New York Times, when they're doing their job, don't have a subpoena power.
Right.
They have no enforcement authority. They have no subpoena authority. Congress does. But Congress is in the hands of the same reckless criminals and seditious assholes that are in the White House. There's right. no incentive for the Congress to investigate anything. Because until...
Well, and Mitch McConnell did tell Morning Joe this morning he wishes the president wouldn't tweet quite so much.
I know. Well, Rand Paul.
That is pushback. Yes.
Rand Paul's saying, you know, just let's just get on with tax cuts. Let's not waste our time with a lot of investigation. How are we going to gut Obamacare and get so I can get my boner up?
Investigations.
We're doing all this investigation stuff. Let's screw that. Let's screw that. And so there is.
And what a contrast that is from Michelle Bachmann. When, you know, 2008, 2009. Oh, I think we should have nothing but investigations.
I think we should do a big investigation of the media to see who's loyal to America.
To America. Yeah. And who is pro-America?
At this point, Benghazi has more sequels than Rocky movies.
Yes,
I mean,
right.
And yet doing one little investigation to see if maybe the president of the United States and his stooges
committed treason.
Based on yes. that apparently the our spy agencies have on hand, that's a bridge too far. That's just crazy talk. And okay. and you realize, oh, no, there's not a one of them that mm-hmm. shouldn't be driven from our shores with fire.
Yeah.
All of them are shit. All if you have an R after your name, you're an awful person at this point. You just mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. And there's mm-hmm. no redemption. And there's nobody. John McCain will raise a hand occasionally. And Lindsey Graham, who doesn't care about anything.
Well, and there's a judge in Ohio who has called for the impeachment of Trump.
Yeah.
And, you know, the governor of Ohio is still never Trump.
But listen, it's always these weird outliers that make the news.
Yes, right.
It's not the 99% of the party that is too cowardly or too traitorous or too stupid or too bigoted or too desperate.
Or too waiting for their tax cuts. Yes.
Or too beholden to their money guys to raise up one pinky in defense mm-hmm. of their country against fascism.
Exactly.
That's
and then we have the hacks.
Yes. Yes.
And this was the day after.
Yes.
Now, granted, maybe these columns were written beforehand, but we knew how bad things were last
yes.
weekend.
Oh, sure. We absolutely did.
You know, this is not news. Mm-hmm. The day after, the morning after General Flynn resigned or was fired, Tom Friedman wrote an open letter asking Trump to save the Jews.
Another Tom Friedman staple, useless open letters to people who will never listen to you, which is thought of very highly by a small group of people who live in Tom Friedman's world and no one else.
Yep.
But
and,
Tom Friedman,
it's a trope to be able to write 800 words
yeah, Mr.
as a letter,
Trump,
right?
Please, won't you save the Jews? They're good people. And again, Tom Friedman has been a shitty, awful writer writing these empty, awful crap for 20 years.
Yep.
So there is a mystery behind why Tom Friedman still has a job. It's not much of a mystery. Clearly, he is the favorite pet mm-hmm. of the people who own the New York Times.
Right.
But
right.
why he's their favorite pet, that's a fascinating question. But let's move on to Ross Douthat.
Ross Douthat, New York Times also, tried to make it about Catholicism.
Yeah, it's something, something, the Catholic mirror of Trump, something, something. Because that's really all I know how to do is be a bitter old
choir boy. Who aged out.
Yeah, yes. Who aged out and who's Ross Douthat's whole shtick, like every other hack like Ross Douthat, is to try to find a way to not say liberals were right all along.
Yep.
So let's find an angle on this story other than the fact that, holy shit, liberals have been right all along. I'm a fucking failure and a fraud, and I should be fired.
Hey, Driftglass.
Speaking of which.
Who else writes for the New York Times?
You know, there's a bunch of people. Damn. who's that guy who did that thing that one time? William Sapphire, I think.
Yeah, no.
You mean David Brooks?
I mean David Brooks.
David Brooks. Yeah, David Brooks, who has made a career. I'm not exaggerating. A career out of telling people to grovel, to always be subservient to power, to never disrupt anything, to suck anybody's dick as long as they're powerful who puts it in your face, who has been an active enemy of the whole concept of resistance, who hated the anti-war protesters, who hated the people who took to the streets, whose life story begins with him taking money out of a fire that his parents had started at a bee-in and running away with it.
Yep.
Because he didn't want to be part of the hippies. He wanted that cash on hand. He has never, ever, ever stood up for any fucking principle in his life.
So what does he want now?
He wrote a guide to resistance, Blue Gal. How to resist Donald Trump. And he said, you know, there's three different ways to resist Donald Trump. There's the extreme one way and the extreme the other way. And then there's this middle way that's just perfect. And what mm-hmm. you should do is do nothing whatsoever until Trump collapses or runs away. And somehow the entire Republican Party that produced him wanders off into the woods and gets lost. And then a bunch of Gerald Fords, I'm not kidding, Gerald Fords, his wig fan fiction, mm-hmm. will leap out of the darkness mm-hmm. and assume power and make everything better. And
that's the closest he will ever get to comparing Trump to Richard Nixon.
Yes.
It is.
But that, I kid you not, really is his column.
My prediction is that he will anoint Mike Pence as the Gerald Ford we've all been
waiting
for. He'll anoint
someone. He'll pick someone because it can again. It will the phrase "liberals are right and I was wrong" will never pass David Brooks's head.
You're listening to the Professional Left podcast, professionalleft.blogspot.com.
Still brought to you by MacGuffin's Muffin. MacGuffin's Muffins, building strong plot points 12 ways.
So we're back, and we are recording now on Friday afternoon.
As Jack Parr said, where was I?
Where was I? Yes.
As I was saying.
Well, we had quite a shock this morning.
Yes,
this memo came out about the possibility of the Trump administration somehow engaging 100,000 National Guard troops, which they can't do because the governors actually do that.
Right. You have to federalize them. Yeah.
You have to. Well, in the governors, the states are going to pay for this.
Right.
So that's the issue. So but the idea that you would then federalize National Guard troops in order to round up immigrants, one assumes undocumented immigrants who have committed crimes. However,
yes.
That given this administration, you can't trust that.
Absolutely don't trust that at all.
And then, Sean Spicer comes out and says that's 100% not true and no one believes him.
So, you know, it must be true.
It is discovered that the Associated Press has a copy of the memo that the DHS head wrote and asked the White House and Sean Spicer's office and the DHS office for comment before they went ahead with the story. And no one responded until the story was published.
Yeah.
Which screams to me troll.
Right.
And distraction and what Carolick calls base goosing, which is, we're going to show the base that we're serious about this. And so they throw that out there. And then the final thing, though, that someone on Twitter pointed out that really, to me, makes a lot of sense, which is this memo was 11 pages long and it was written with the approval of the head of the DHS, Department of Homeland Security. So, and he said, federal departments don't just do that for fun. They don't just issue 11 page memos outlining the possibility of a policy involving the National Guard by accident. Someone asked them to explore this.
Right.
And I think we all know which president it was that did that. It was President Bannon that did that. And so whether Bannon did it because he's serious about doing this, which is, to me, likely, whether he did it in order to, I'm sure he has a file of distractions that he can throw out.
Sure. He ran fucking Breitbart. That's all they do is make up crap to distract you give their base things to chew on, give their base crazy pills. He's a liar. He lies for a living.
Professionally. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, but we're living in really alarming, dangerous, upsetting times. And so it's important to sort of cushion yourself because this is going to go on for a long time.
Sure.
And as I said earlier when we talked yesterday, and it's earlier on this podcast, the story here is, number one, the Russians, and number two, how are Mitch McConnell and the Congress going to react to this? And right now they think we're going to get our tax cuts and we're not going to be tainted because we're just going to call it Trumpism.
Right.
And no, we're not going to let him get away with that. The other thing that I have found fascinating about this week, and particularly with the whole Russia thing and the clear evidence that the Trump campaign was talking about, talking with Russia the whole time, is that the Trump campaign was very anti-globalism, but it's really clear that they don't mind globalism at all as long as it's white and male and lines the right pockets.
Yes. Absolutely.
And so, you know, the power, the white power guy, whether it's Putin or, you know, some authoritarian figure in some other country, is just fine with them. And they'll work with anybody around the world. You know, they're off in Dubai now. The Trump boys are off in Dubai being protected by the Secret Service at our taxpayer expense because they're opening a hotel.
Yep.
And, you know, white male lining the right pockets is fine. We're happy to do it. We're happy to go around the world and open Trump hotels and be protected. And they're protected anyway. They've been protected by taxpayer expense anyway, because that's what the U.S. military is for, is to protect the interests of corporate America around the world. So all of that says to me, globalism's just fine with them. It's just that it can't be for brown people. It can't be for women. It can't be in the interest of contraceptive coverage and making sure families are healthy. It's about lining pockets.
Things are flying at us at breakneck speed. Lots of things. Lots of it's chaff. Lots of it's a decoy. Lots of it's real. A disturbingly large amount of it is real and crisis ridden. And, you know, any one of these crises would have derailed any other presidency. Boom. Out of the gate, we've gone from zero to Nixon to, in 20 days.
Right.
Zero to Nixon at, you know, on the precipice of Watergate in 20 days, in 23 days. And plus a bunch of other crap. This really is the mirror opposite of the Obama administration in that Barack Obama did inherit the worst situation of any modern president, except Roosevelt. He inherited a collapsing economy and two wars that were going horribly. Donald Trump's inheriting essentially a country that is not quite at peace, but it certainly isn't mired up to our chins in the kind of Iraq slaughter that we were in when Barack Obama took over. He's inheriting an economy that's been growing for 82 straight months. And of course, at the press conference, I inherited a disaster, an utter disaster. Everything's messed up. I inherited it. It just did awful. So he just lies and lies and lies and lies. But this should be a cakewalk. I mean, they really don't have anything to be pissed about. They're inheriting a fairly stable economy that's moving generally in the right direction. And global alliances, they're a little hinky and shaky around the world. And he is just going out of his way to fuck up everything they touch. And for 38% of the country, including people I know, that's perfectly okay. That's great. That's awesome. Burn it all down. And so the degree of deliberate chaos being unleashed by these fascists and lunatics to either create their own fascism or to cover for these gigantic tax cuts and gutting of social safety networks that is what they really want to do is hard to track.
Right. The but also, debris, it, so. Also, in addition to those two things, self-preservation is part of the picture, which is they only worry about the 40%. They only worry because getting primaried is how you lose your job. You don't lose your job in the general election. We're able to they say to themselves, we're able to manipulate the electorate in the general election to the point where we win.
So,
but if we're primaried and our voters, our 40% voters are mad at us, and that's the only people voting in a Republican primary, we'll lose our jobs.
Yeah. And so I see it as our job. Since we cannot, we don't have anything like the resources of Rachel
Breitbart,
or Rachel Maddow, or anybody. We have a couple of borrowed microphones and our own brains and our lovely
donated
listeners.
Microphones. Thank you very much. We really appreciate
and
that
that's
you
what
donated
we have.
Microphones.
And we have the same Google and mouse that you do. So, but what we can do is provide a frame of reference through which to view what is going on. What's important to remember, what's important to hold on to in terms of critiquing what's going on is that the entire Republican Party from the ground up is completely rotten. There's nothing salvageable left inside it at
all. This is corruption.
This is what happens when a system, this is very much like The Big Short.
Yeah.
They couldn't figure out why the real estate market was collapsing, but the bond market built on the real estate market was not
never fell. Yeah,
not going down. They couldn't figure it out, and they went to all these people who should know what they're doing, including rating agencies, who just said, "Well, we just make shit up."
Yeah,
but you're the cops. Yeah, but you know, but if we don't tell them what they want to hear, they're going to go down the street to Moody's and we lose business.
And we are selling a product. We are not the cops. We are selling this.
Right. We're selling our ratings.
Yeah.
And do people know that? Well, you know, ha ha ha. Poor dumb fuckers. You know, who are they?
Yeah.
And that's when they sat down at a table and said, oh, we might be dealing with a system that is completely corrupt.
Yep.
And that we did not expect. We expected this sort of natural cause and effect, that when this horribly destructive thing happens, all the dominoes that are dependent on it would also fall. That just follows.
So let me ask you something, Driftglass.
Yeah.
Do we then walk away from the table and say, short everything this guy's selling?
You can't.
We can't. This is our country. We're talking about.
Exactly. So here's what we do. What we are charged with doing is doing what Churchill did in 1939, 1940. Mm-hmm. Hang on. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really all we can do. We are hanging on by our nails, but there are millions of people in the streets who are on our side.
Right.
There are actual members of Congress, of the Democratic Party, that stand up all night and try to stop this thing, and they're on our side.
Yep.
There's a few members of the media out there. This is one of the things that cracked me up about our brother podcast, or sister podcast, if you will, Pod Save America. We're pretty much the same kind of podcast. We're co-equal in the podcast world. They're kind of new. They haven't been around very much. They don't really have the hang of things. So we're trying to give these kids a break. But what they were saying, for example, this week was...
I don't listen to their show. I have to confess that.
Okay.
I'll tell you something, folks. I would love to listen to other podcasts all week.
Yeah, you're busy.
I'm busy, and if I listen to other podcasts all week long, I will repeat everything I heard. It will be the review of podcasts, and I want this to be original content. So
that's what this is. I mean, I'm just repeating things I've heard from them.
Oh, okay.
This particular fact, because I, you know, like you, we glean the fields for what's going on in the world and try to make sense of it, so we can integrate it into a critique of the entire political system as it exists now.
In 60 minutes.
I'll split over 2 days. As news just falls out of the sky. But they were saying that the idea that there's some equivalence between Donald Trump calling on Sinclair Broadcasting and Fox News and Breitbart and World Net Daily and whoever the fuck else was in there's no equivalence. And they said there couldn't have been, because other than HuffPo, no liberal bloggers were ever given press credentials.
Exactly.
In the Obama White House.
Yes.
There is no liberal. There could not be. So
right. HuffPo was funded by Arianna Huffington's divorce money. She had $26 million to start HuffPo. So
there's a ton of energy out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a dearth of ways to focus it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to focus it, at least to try to come up with a strategy, to kind of think through what you want to accomplish, is to understand the world you're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And understand what's a distraction, what's nuts, what's not.
Yeah, yeah.
For my money, and believe me, it's basically at this point sofa change, but for what it's worth, anyone with an R after their name, which I believe I said yesterday, has got to go. Anybody who is still a member of the Republican Party in 2017 is, by their very nature, unfit to be a public servant, period. That might not be true 10 years from now, but for right now, and this is exactly what Paul Krugman said today in the New York Times.
Yes, he did.
At Donald Trump. Yeah, look at Donald Trump. He's nuts. He's bad. But the entire party is corrupt.
Exactly.
And they're perfectly willing to go along with this kind of rambling, racist, lying bullshit to get what they want. And what they want is as horrifying as anything Donald Trump wants.
Well, it's white men lining their pockets. Again, it's that we're happy with globalization because we're going to get rich off of it.
Yeah.
We're moving along here because we already have something in the can.
We already got a podcast.
One thing that I think is really surprising Trump that he didn't expect, and frankly, I didn't expect either, Trump didn't realize that the press that was so in the tank for him last summer, the press that ran unending empty podiums, empty waiting podium for coverage. Donald Trump, waiting for Donald Trump, waiting for Donald Trump. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
He's to be have on soon.
Call in anytime he wanted. Right. You know, we'll have you on by phone on the morning shows. We'll do whatever you want because ratings, right? That they just were happy to do whatever he wanted, cover him 24/7, the Trump channel, because ratings.
Right.
That same press that was in the tank for him for ratings can destroy him for ratings. And will destroy him for ratings. And no.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make this argument.
Sure.
There's no ratings boom for news divisions like an incompetent White House.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And there's no ratings boom for news divisions like an impeachment. There's no sex scandals. Good. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Yeah. Sex scandal would be better. But international spy ring with the Russians talking to a campaign,
right,
and hidden leaks from intelligence agencies. And like I said, I think we're talking Western Europe leaking, not just CIA leaking.
Or our allies are keeping an eye on us because they don't trust the person we put in charge.
They don't trust the person, right. They love America more than some of our voters do.
Yes.
And there's an article in New York Times today called Journalists Battered and Groggy Find a Renewed Sense of Mission. And it's telling the story of us as well as the mainstream media, which is you cannot go to bed at night because 17 things will happen by the time you turn on Twitter in the morning. And so there's that. But for journalists, this is the paragraph, for journalists anxious about the state of their profession, there is a renewed sense of mission. Newspapers are seeing a sharp rise in subscriptions. Uh-huh. Television news, once dismissed as a dinosaur in the internet age, is actually thriving. Rachel Maddow's audience on MSNBC is up 79% from 12 months ago.
Yes, all that is true. All that is
pulling,
true.
The past 2 weeks, her show has pulled more than 2 million viewers a night. And it's interesting. They also mentioned Tucker Carlson, who I just think should be erased from television.
Yes.
He has had more viewers on his show than New Girl or Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which is not surprising.
No. So, you know, people and these poor Washington Beltway journalists don't have a life anymore because Donald Trump won't let them away from their phones to do anything. Well, tough shit. You know, we're in it to do this. And the alternative for you guys in the Beltway is irrelevance.
Yeah, this is where you and I must respectfully disagree.
OK.
Over one specific term, to destroy him for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
We are two separate countries now.
Yeah.
Completely separate. The conservatives do not listen to anything we have to say. They do not care about facts. They do not give a shit about economics. They don't care about ratings because they're all rigged.
They care about Medicare.
That's where the rubber meets the road. But when it comes to all of these statistics and proofs and facts that show Donald Trump is a liar and Donald Trump's numbers are terrible and he is less popular faster than any president in history, they dismiss all of it as fake news made up by liberals.
Yep.
So I'm sure Donald Trump, the analogy I want to make is this. It doesn't matter how much the media in the Confederacy batters Lincoln.
Yeah.
They're not fucking part of the same country anymore.
Right, right.
They're not going to touch his – and it doesn't matter how much the North calls Jefferson Davis a poopy head.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different country.
Or traitor.
The only people Donald Trump is now appealing to – are the batshit right-wing crackpots, which make up about 50 to 55 million Americans who vote. The voting bloc.
Well, and who did he turn to this morning for the review of his press conference?
Fox and
Friends. Who did he celebrate? No. Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yes.
Rush Limbaugh thought he did a great job.
I'm sorry. Fox and Friends was yesterday.
Fox and Friends
Rush
was yesterday.
Rush Limbaugh was today. But if you think the only way to destroy him is to slap Rush Limbaugh's dick out of the mouths of his mouth-breathing followers.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Which is never going to happen.
Right.
They have their entire information digestive system has been mutated so they can only digest bullshit.
Yeah.
And if they try to stop, they'll die. Yeah. So they can't stop. So we can, you know, the ratings for Rachel Maddow can soar and MSNBC can have long, sweaty meetings about why the fuck did we hire Greta Van Susteren.
That'd be nice. I don't think anybody's doing that.
No, I don't think so either. But that is not going to change anything. Mm-hmm. No one's going to impeach Donald Trump until he outlives his usefulness.
Yeah.
And so Paul Ryan has proven that he is every bit a soulless. Hobgoblin, humanity-hating scumbag that everyone thinks he is.
Yeah.
And he will carry out his Randite mission to destroy the federal government and loot the place for his paymasters and ideological peers. And nothing's going to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird to start talking about the fact that when you look at the leadership of an entire political party, the media leadership, the people that own the corporations that support them, the people that vote for them, don't have a conscience anymore. Right. They don't acknowledge reality anymore. And that's a very different universe than they're just being dicks or they're just pushing back or there's someone named Barack Obama holding this flood at bay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so... Mm-hmm. Now, we have to get our game on.
Right.
Now
right.
we have to start going after Republicans in safe districts.
Right.
And
right.
and we're right. doing that. I mean, there are people showing up in places where you never thought in large numbers demanding.
Yeah. Utah Republicans are terrified of their voters all of a sudden. Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's the key right there. Now, keeping that up is not going to be that hard, I don't think, because this administration keeps lighting firecrackers and throwing them into crowded movie theaters.
Right, right. And people's lives are at risk by this.
They are.
And their health and the health of their children are at risk. And when that happens, it gets people's attention. Yeah. It does. Now, we're gonna change gears. I did want to point out that thing I told you the other day about how we presume that it's Mitch McConnell who stopped Barack Obama from doing everything he wanted to do. But in the converse of that is that Barack Obama was there to prevent Mitch McConnell's assholery from fully blooming into what is a real apparent thing.
Right.
Because he had the veto pen.
Yeah.
And so now all of the things, this is why Obamacare and the Obamacare repeal is such a minefield for them, is that they can actually do it.
Right.
And so the fact that they've been trying to do it 60 times, those were mere symbolic votes because Obama was there to stop them.
Right.
And now that he's not there to stop them anymore, they've lost something.
Right.
They've lost the ability to be indignant for their base and not have real consequences with other voters who are really mad at them.
Well, and to be wholly inappropriate, they have been for the last 8 years, Cleavon Little in Blazing Saddles, holding themselves hostage with their own gun.
Yep.
They'll do it. They're crazy. Well, now there's no one to stop them. Now everyone's saying, go ahead, pull the fucking trigger. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do it. And they're like, is someone going to rush in and stop me from doing this? No. You won. Go ahead. Pull the fucking trigger. And you have Republicans, the hardcore basement dwelling.
Who say, do it. Get rid of Obamacare. And they don't realize that's their insurance. Yeah.
And then you have this.
Or that there's a benefit to them for that.
And you have this sort of wedge of dumb voters who have no idea what anything means or is. They just know that Rush says that's a bad man. It's slowly dawning on them that if this happens, I'm fucked.
Yep.
And my family is screwed. And my neighbor's family is screwed. And that community health center is going to shut down. Like, well, wait a minute.
That's where my kids get their shots. What do you mean?
If my kid breaks his leg,
that's where I go. Right.
Nobody ever explained to me that A would lead to B. And I don't know what to say. It's like, well, you're right. I did not find the words that were small enough and dumb enough to explain to a moron like you that putting a gun in your mouth and pulling the trigger might result in sudden brain explosions.
Mm-hmm.
But you did. Congratulations. You fucking won. And it really is going to it's going to require some pipelines bursting.
Some
people turning on their water and having fire come out.
And the dam in California that's about to collapse. You know, this requires government intervention, folks.
On all and for long term sustained investment in the infrastructure of your country also depends.
And not just to line the pockets of Jared Kushner's creditors, which is what the infrastructure bill is supposed to do.
And there's a lot of,
by the way,
there's a lot of Republican mortality in this, which is a lot of these bitter old white men don't give a shit what happens to this country after they're dead.
Right. So they're terrified of dying.
Right.
And that's the part that is so unspoken. No one, there is no granola, you know, Deepak Chopra there to tell them in a language that they will accept.
You're going to die.
That mortality
is something that you're going to have to deal with, other than just raging and voting for the 1950s.
Right.
And for that day when you could see your own dick looking down, mm-hmm. and, you know, you were hot and you weren't going to die. Those are the years that generation wants back very badly.
And the flip side of that is they see no reason to invest in this country long term, because as soon as once they're gone, who the fuck cares about my kids or grandkids or future generations? Yeah. This is absolutely the opposite of the way our parents and grandparents thought.
Absolutely.
The way the founders of this country thought.
Yep.
We should be massively investing in education and all the stuff that Democrats always talk about. It's boring, you know, infrastructure, education, healthcare, mm-hmm. clean air, clean water. We should be investing in that like mad. These are every single thing Republicans are against. Why? Yeah. Well, because they don't give a rat's ass what happens to this country after they're dead. They don't give a shit if they leave a toxic waste dump, because they'll be in an air-conditioned grave doing fine.
I think it's more than that, though. I think that the authoritarian streak that wants to believe in Donald Trump, just like they believe in Jesus. I mean, you see that on Twitter. You see the Jesus and Republican politics are hand in hand.
Sure.
And so that belief structure and that faith, that wanting to have faith, means that they have faith that they will be exempt from any damage, that for eternity, they are the chosen people, mm-hmm. and they'll be protected from not having insurance. And, if they are missing something in their lives, like a job, like a living wage, that can't possibly be corporate America's fault, because anybody should be allowed to make all the money they can possibly make. You know, mm-hmm. that's their right. And that's part of the core faith they have.
Right.
And so it's got to be that Obama's fault, right?
Yeah, for the
and then
brown people.
There's a Republican in the White House. Well, my faith is in him. You know, I've got faith that Donald Trump is going to save this country. And it is a blurring of the line between church and state in their brains.
And there's no way into that thought process.
You're hurting their faith by doing that. You're questioning a really core faith value. All right, we're going to end now.
And remind you, you people are the liberal media.
We're all the liberal media. Be the liberal media. Be the media. We love you.
Love you too.
Yes, keep the faith. Take care of yourselves. We love you. That's what I want everyone to know. I know actual tears are shed.
Yes.
Among our listenership. And I'm not going to cry right now.
But they are.
We know that because we cry too.
Yes.
And he hugs me, and I hope you have somebody who can hug you. And if you don't, consider yourself hugged, because this is hard.
Or, if I may suggest, slip on a comfortable pair of Dukakis khakis. Dukakis khakis, they're not so good for running in.
Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Maisie. In addition to being an internet kitty, Maisie is a recycling specialist.
What?
In this photo, she has found a box from a case of soda that needed immediate inspection.
Way to go, Maisie.
Please do not make any comments about her Coke habit, because that is not appreciated.
Mm-hmm. I did.
You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We do love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. And did you know that Hillary Clinton this week did another shout out to the U.S. Postal Service?
Yeah, baby.
She did.
Yeah.
She spoke at the release date of the new stamp for Oscar de la Renta, who has dressed every first lady since Jackie Kennedy.
Oh, my God.
The late Oscar de la Renta, she gave a speech and she said, you know what? Oscar de la Renta made so many contributions to America, and this stamp honors him, and he was an immigrant. And I think we need more immigrants, don't you? And by the way, the U.S. Postal Service that released these beautiful stamps is mentioned in the Constitution, and I think everybody should reread the Constitution, don't you?
I do too.
He literally said that. That was her speech. I think everybody should reread the Constitution. And And it was a very short thing, but the stamp says on it USA forever.
Yeah.
And she said that too. So, you know, great speech. Great to see her looking well. Mm-hmm. She had dinner with Kate McKinnon this week also.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes. Yeah. And she went to a Broadway show. She went to see Sunset Boulevard on Broadway. And she had a much more friendly and raucous and applause-filled reception than Mike Pence could ever wish to have. So, you know, she's there, and we are still with her. Let me say that. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local, and we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too, whether you do it now or after your tax return money comes. We can wait. We love you, and do what you can when you can. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and I really do want to thank everyone who's done that. I've noticed. We have noticed that our shares on Facebook and Twitter have gone up since we changed this line in our podcast notes. Thank you for doing that. We really appreciate it. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
You know, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties are thinking that those kicked out of the Trump White House are the lucky ones.
Best think about living. Think about loving. Just think about loving. Think about loving. Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.